Well, good evening, church. Welcome to our Wednesday evening service, prayer time session. And as always, we always start our service off with a song. So let's grab our hymnals and turn to page 141. There is a fountain. Let's all stand and sing. We're going to have to sing another one because I think the preacher's got hung up here just for a second. So, pick us up. Okay, yeah. Okay.
I want to make an announcement. Tomorrow we're going to begin working at Sister Ernestine's house trailer, and we're meeting here at church at 9 o'clock in the morning to go up there. In case you don't know where she lives, it's a long, winding road, but you just follow one of us and we'll all get you lost. Just kidding. But if you want to go and can work tomorrow, 9 o'clock in the morning, bring your screw guns, extension cord, a squire. We should have everything else we need, I think. If you think of anything you need, want to bring, especially bring it. And we're not going to be hammering. Hopefully, we won't be. I'd say not, but I might have to eat that with words. But thank you anyway.
That's all right. I think the preacher's having computer problems. Of course, no one's ever had computer problems before in here, so. So let's stand up and sing "Stand Up, Stand Up for Jesus," number 485.
Thank you, y'all. Thank you, Brother Ken, Sister Ernestine.
Computers and technology, amen? It is. But praise God. It's been a great day, ain't it? Been a beautiful day, and so thankful that you've come out tonight, and we're hoping to figure this thing out. Just excited about Vacation Bible School, and the Lord had kindly put a message on my heart to kindly stir us up a little bit and get an overview of it, and may not be in depth like I want it to be, but that's going to be our idea tonight. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. But Brother Gary, good to see you. How's Miss Betty doing?
Doing well.
Is she? Amen. I told Brother Gary they should have been at church Sunday night. They had her out of surgery and she was already good to go and they was home. They could have just kept coming home there, but just cutting a fool there. But I just want to say thank you to all of you who are faithful. Because at Thomas Village right now, if you're committed very much, you're going through something. That's just the way it is. And if you remember a few months ago, I made the statement to stay the course. You know, that God has called us to stay the course. And I didn't realize it, but, you know, staying the course is getting a little tough at times, ain't it? But I think as we look at our country, as you're turning to Ephesians chapter 6, that we're in a pivotal point in our nation. But also, I think, religiously in our country. We're at a pivoting point. And if you're not committed and grounded as an individual, as a home, a family, and also as a church, then it's going to be tough times. And I think we're seeing the beginning of many begin to kind of close their doors. In Stickleyville, there's two churches for sale right now. Ain't that heartbreaking? That there's two churches that are for sale. And but that being said, as the churches begin to close, the faithful ones are going to be looking for a home. And if we stay the course, I believe God's got big things for us. All right, Ephesians chapter 6. Do we have any words of praise or testimony tonight? Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And that's what we're to be. You know, what's the old saying? The only Jesus some people ever see is you. You're the Bible some people will only ever read. So thank you, Brother Kent. Anyone else tonight? Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, sister. And I don't know. Two things. How do people get by without Jesus? How do you get out of bed in the morning without Jesus? And number two, how do you get by without your church family? You know, I mean, y'all are as close to me as my own blood relatives. You know, you're as important to me as my own flesh and blood. And especially being away from mom and daddy. You know, it's hard at times. But I think that our tough days are coming for our country as we look ahead. And I think the church is going to be more and more important again. It's going to come to where it'll have to play a role in your life, you know. And so, but the history tells us that it's in the hardships that you see the churches grow, you know. So, anyone else? Thank you, Sister Donna. Anyone else? Amen. It is. Did Sister Moselle? Amen. Did Sister Moselle, everything go good with her Monday? Really? I don't know the feeling. Has anybody heard from Brother Johnny? They were cutting his ears on yesterday. I meant to text him and just let it slip by. He was having his cochlear. That's how he said. I ain't good at saying words sometimes. And if you're watching by Facebook, it's good to be with you. If you're listening by the radio, a little out of my element because I like to have my notes printed off at least 10 minutes before I get in the pulpit, and it's almost 5 after. So sorry if we seem a little bit shaken, because we are shaken. That's why we seem it. But do we have any prayer needs tonight? I want to continue to remember Sister Nancy. Pray for them, and then also Brother Dale Edwards and his sister. I can't remember her name right off the bat, but do you remember her?
Jean Messer.
Jean Messer. What was it going on there? Mm-hmm. We'll keep praying. Anyone else? Praise the Lord.
But just pray for him. His name is Colby Barry.
Colby. Cody. Amen. Danny Smith, yeah. And then Hoyt Bledsoe, I heard his brother passed away. Didn't it? Isn't that what? Was it? I hadn't heard nothing about it, though.
I didn't have any
service. They didn't. Danny Smith. How old was Danny?
Danny, 74.
74. All right, I need to write that down. Anyone else? We're thankful to have someone to mess up. And then we'll be working at your house tomorrow, I think, ain't we? Going to try to meet here about 9 if you can. And go kind of get some boxes took care of. Mickey Gibson is going to have a kidney transplant. I'm going to pray for him. And then also Brother Wayne had some disheartening news about his heart, but praise God we have the great physician that's able, but continue to lift him and Sister Tammy up and all that's going on there. Also, we've got a lot of people traveling. It's that time of year, and pray that everybody go and come in safety. I talked with my father today, and as you know, he resigned the church that he had been there for a while, and they've got a boy out of Atlanta, 24-year-old boy, been married 18 months, and he's coming to stay with Daddy this weekend, and he's going to be trying out for the position there. So just pray that God's will be done there, you know. And two, it being a young man like that, it's going to have to be the right church and the right man on both sides, you know. So Keep them in your prayers. That was the last night's game, right? They won. Where are they going to? Salem? Softball. Also, I just want to brag on one, Sister Valerie's. Cassidy, she got another state championship. So, way to go on that one. Did you know my son took her to prom? Just in case you didn't know that, I put that out there. Anyone else tonight? All right. Brother Keith, you mind leading us in a word of prayer? Amen. Also, I want to say thank you to Brother Frank and Sister Melissa for helping me get all this printed off. Keepers of the kingdom. Keepers of the kingdom. And we'll be in Ephesians chapter 6. But if you would, just bear with me for a minute, because we've got 251 names that are lost in their sin. And I just want to read off their first name, if I can, tonight. And as we read them off, just pray that the Word and the Spirit will draw them to salvation, okay? Jeff, Rick, Martin, Ansley, Rayleigh, Juanita, Atheist Neighbor, Spring, Rebecca, Brooke, Maria, Jerry, Larry and Mary, Tim and Emily, Anthony, Cara, Logan, Toby, Tim, Junior, Kate, Jacob, Rick, Fred, Jamie, D.W., Daryl, Bradley, Haley, Natasha, Gabe, Nathan, Curtis, Betty and Danny, Rex, Melinda, Todd, Brandon, Ashley, Talmadge, Christian, Nathan, Chris, Cody, Colton, Christopher, Annie and Jason, Gary, Austin, Brody and Braxton, Tom and Sharon, Melinda, Leonard, Millard, Leah, Bobby, Bill, Robert, Felicia, David, Bridget, JC, Lavella, Diane, Josh, Madison, Sydney, Austin, Jordan, Bavina, Sheridan, Brady, Gabe, Kelly, Ashton, Trista, Richie, Taylor, Austin, Brady, Gerald, Terry, Kane, Tony, Lynette. If something doesn't happen, they're going to spend an eternity in hell. Every one of these people will spend an eternity in hell. Brian, Diane, Rick, Carol, Charles, Gail, Richard, Wilma, William, Ermalee, Shane, Clarence, Chuck's mother and sister, Otis, Rick, Evan, Daniel, Rebecca and child, Hunter, Tim, Becky, Kenny and wife, Aaron, Tim, Ella Jo, Tyrone, Erica, Robert, Jr., Jackie, Claire, Earl, Jason, Robert, Jason, Monty, Lisa, Mickey, Dina, Justin, John, Cheyenne, Jane, Larry, BV, Thelma, Rita, Claudia, Mike and Mary Lou, Letitia, Florence, Dennis, James, Drayden, Barry, Barbara, Bud, LaDonna, Lee, Carolyn, Scott and Jalen, Michael, Isaac, Kayla, Rhonda, Michael and James, Mike, Joey, David and Gracie, Pauline, Chad, Misty, Ron, Greg, Lila, Brooke, Madeline, Bonnie, Eric and Lita, Justin, Matt, Bobby, Michael, Thea, Ted, Joshua, Sharon, Richie, Michael, Gerald, Donald, Bethany, Frank Sr., Keith, Robert and Sandra, Tom, Donald, Lisa and daughter, Danny and Brenda, Glenn, Sarah, Elia, John, Polly and Neil, Mickey and Will, Cooper, Haley, Gary and Melissa, Demarius and Nathan, Mila, Daniel, Nathaniel, Steve Gunner, Robert, Fred, Ronnie, Jean, Victoria, Chastity, Tina, Rocky, Sam, Samuel, Tim, Kristen, Ron, Dwight, Glenda, Galen, Farrell, Teresa and Phil, Devin, Jean, Zachary, Jimmy, Caden, Fran, and Farah. And we claim these scriptures. Romans 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God is for their salvation. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow about His promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Lord, we just close out this prayer by saying thank you for the soul that you're saving even now. Somewhere tonight, over this globe, not just one, but many are having their eternity changed. And so, Lord, we just give you all the praise, honor, and glory, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. And I think that's good that the Lord put that on my heart, because as you're in Ephesians chapter 6, we'll be beginning in verse 10, but Vacation Bible School is our biggest evangelistic outreach that we engage in as a total body that we'll do all year. I mean, this, the sole purpose of this is to make sure that the Word of God is getting into the ears and the hearts of whosoever comes through the doors. And this year, we're going a little bit different with our literature. And I'm excited about that. But just the way that the Lord has brought this year's Vacation Bible School together has helped just let me know that God works. And He can speak to you in the same fashion that He speaks to me. But the idea is this: kingdom, keepers of the kingdom, standing strong in today's battle for truth. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Anybody want to guess what the theme of that is? You remember that passage? The armor of God. So let's begin in verse 10. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by His vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, amen, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers in this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared for everything, take your stand. Stand, therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like an armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. And may God add the blessing to His reading. Now, that was a little hard for me to read because I'm used to it being out of the King James. And this is one area, and you've heard me say it before, that my father instilled in me. And he, before he gets out of bed, you make sure you've got your armor on from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And I know it may not seem as important, But the idea of, remember what we said, if we don't actively rehearse the truth of God's Word, then it won't naturally come into our lives. We have to make it a purposeful thing to make sure that we don't just say, I believe X or Y, but that we engage in X and Y, and in doing that, we have to put it before ourselves. Like I said, I'm extremely excited for our Vacation Bible School. Months and months ago, if you remember, I preached one Sunday morning about how engaged or how committed are you to your church. And about 2 months before that, God put some specific things about Vacation Bible School on my heart. Some things that we needed, some things that I thought that we need to bring back in that we had lost from before COVID. I hadn't went to Miss Andrea yet and talked to her about it. I was kind of just waiting to see how things were working out. But there were two things that had been on my heart. One was to do a different literature. Since Lifeway closed all their stores, it's just not been on my heart to stay with them. And you notice with our Sunday school material, we've left and went to a different material on that. And I think it's a better material. But I wanted to do a different literature. And then I wanted us to go back to 5 days. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But we did change our literature. How many of you's ever heard of Answers in Genesis? Answers in Genesis. Ken Ham, how about the Ark experience? What's the other one? And the Creation Museum. I think that's up there in Ohio, in Kentucky. Is that what, Cincinnati? Answers in Genesis is an apologetics, or it's a way of defending the gospel ministry educated to enabling Christians to defend their faith and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ effectively. We focus particularly on providing answers to questions. Will somebody get me a drink of water? I'm having a thick tongue. We focus particularly on providing answers to questions surrounding the book of Genesis, as it is the most attacked book in the Bible. Why would Genesis be the most attacked? It's the beginning. It's the foundational truth. If you can make somebody question how it started, then the rest of it's always going to be a question mark. We also desire to train up others to develop a biblical worldview and seek to expose the bankruptcy of evolution and its bedfellow, millions of years old Earth, or the billions of billions with the carbon dating and all that stuff that they do. Answers in Genesis teaches that facts don't speak for themselves. They must be interpreted. The idea is, if you don't allow for there to be a creator, then there cannot be a God. If you said that creation is by the Big Bang and there is no higher being, then you'll never allow for that to be a possibility. There aren't separate sets of evidences for evolution versus creation. We all deal with the same evidence. We all live on the same earth, have the same fossils, observe the same animals. The differences lie in how we interpret the study. The Bible, which he calls the historical book of the universe, provides a reliable eyewitness account of the beginning of all things and can be trusted to tell the truth in every area it touches. Therefore, we are able to use it to help us make sense of this present world. When properly understood, the evidence confirms the biblical account. I was watching today something on YouTube that more and more scientists are beginning to say that Genesis, with the account of Noah's flood, are saying, yes, it seems to be that there was a global flood, but the scientists that say that are opposed to those that say it was just local floods. This nation had it at this time, and China had it at this time, but the evidence is coming together. In 2010, I think they believe that they found it over in Turkey, the ark. But the idea is, how do you interpret it? You know, and so they're known for the life-size Noah's Ark in northern Kentucky, and then also the walk-through biblical history located in Cincinnati in northern Kentucky. And every year between the Ark Experience and the Creation Museum, 1.5 million people go through that. How awesome of a ministry is that? And I mentioned Ken Ham. He is the founder and CEO of Answers in Genesis, and he's the writer of the book called The Big Lie. And if you can ever read that book, I challenge you to do it. As a much-in-demand Christian speaker and interview guest, Ham became well-known throughout America in 2014 when he debated Bill Nye. You remember Bill Nye, the science guy, on creation versus evolution. And most people believe that Ken waxed the floor with him as he was able to use it. But I do, and so it's through them that we're going through with the Keepers of the Kingdom. Me and Brother Chris will be working in the juniors, I believe it is, this year. But Keepers of the Kingdom, standing strong in today's battle for truth. Now think about this. How many of you have heard in the past week the term mis or disinformation? I mean, that is one of the things that they're beating in on. It's what they just tried to appoint somebody in the White House that would be over the information that comes out. And basically what we're seeing in our country and around the globe is a fight for the control of information. They're wanting to feed us what they want to feed us and limit anything that doesn't line up with that. Think about how much mis or disinformation our children are hearing on a daily basis. And not just our children, but they're pumping it in our ears just as hard as they can as well. Matter of fact, I wouldn't call it mis or disinformation. I would call it a blatant lie, is what we're being told. And folks, this is what the Bible warns us about over in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the very elect. You know, I can't help but think, why are two churches for sale? Why don't we have the numbers we had post-COVID or pre-COVID? One of it is that people's faith is wavering. People's faith is shaken. So while our children are being bombarded with lies, we must be reminded that it is God's Word and God's Word alone that's going to bring victory. It's God's Word alone that's going to bring America back. It's God's Word alone that's going to bring revival. John chapter 8, verse 30. And Jesus spoke these things. Many believed in him. So he said to the Jews who had believed, if you continue in my word, you're truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth. And what will the truth do? Set you free. Now, he's not saying that an intellectual awareness of what the Bible says will bring freedom. But what we know is this, is that you cannot find salvation if you do not hear the word of God, right? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And let me say this again, because I'm going to try to do it every service from now on. We cannot live victorious if we don't know the word. We cannot live with joy. We cannot live with peace unless we know the word. Now, we don't have to read our Bible every day to be saved. But if we want to hear from God, if we want our faith to be strengthened, if we want to have an excitement about telling others about Jesus, where's it going to come from? It's going to come from the word and what the Spirit does within us with that word and through that word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Truth is available and is powerful. Amen? Truth is ready. There's enough, I mean, just in what we've read tonight, there's enough to change our country. There's enough to save every man, woman, boy, and girl. Remember what we preached about a few Sundays ago, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Do you remember that word power? You remember what it was in the Greek? Dunamis. What word did we talk about goes along with that? Dynamite, dynamic. The idea is that there's a potential power within the gospel that's able to change your eternity. Remember we talked about how a stick of dynamite, put it under a stump of a tree, what happens? What was there is no longer there. It's changed by the dynamis that is there. So the need to get the word out is on us. The idea of evangelism, all that means is getting the word to the people, getting the truth to the people. And so then we know we've got the answer to the cancer, right? The cure for sin is in the truth of God's word. So that's one why I thought we needed to change our literature. But then also, I thought we needed to go to a five-night VBS again. And here's what's awesome, though. I had been praying that for months, and then that Sunday morning, she spoke and said, we're going to a five-night one. That's God. That's Him bringing it together. But I want you to think about this. How much time do we get to put the gospel into the lives of people compared to the onslaught of misinformation? If you were to figure the time of our children's and the influence that they're constantly getting from the world. Think about this. Even public schools today, I mean, what's being taught there is more secular than it is to do with anything about Jesus. TV, computer, cell phones, you're in the elevator, you're in the doctor's office, you're in the dentist chair. Everything is being pumped into you all the time. And how much of it is to the glory and edification of Jesus? Zilch. So, next to the time we are at church, how much do we actually get to invest? I figured it up. 7 days in a week, 24 hours a day, right? Do the math. That would be 148 hours. Somewhere in there. So then we think, okay, they sleep for 8 hours. So that takes away 56. So during the week, there's 92 hours, give or take, that you can input something to our children. 35 hours in a school week. So that leaves us 56. And let's split that in half. Let's say they're doing their chores, playing sports, or doing whatever. So that means that there's about some odd, say, 56 hours or something like that that they're able to have. If a parent takes them to church every time they can and spend a little time with them at night in the Bible, that's somewhere around 6 to 10 hours a week. Now think about that. 60-something versus 10. That's almost 9-to-1 that the world is having an upper hand. So if we can give a five-night vacation Bible school, praise God, let's give a five-night vacation Bible school. And then the idea of what is being taught, what we're giving them, keepers of the kingdom, standing strong in today's battle for truth. It's said in the times of fire-breathing dragons, regal queens and kings, princes and princesses, and a battle over a kingdom. Keepers of the kingdom is to train up, here's the goal, to train up young warriors to do daily battle between two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, or the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. The blessed kingdom of the one true king is under attack. And you look in our country today, it is a blatant attack against Christianity right now. We have been called to battle. And matter of fact, one way or another, every one of us is battling every day. And the theme is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, take on the whole armor of God. Day one, the idea of that study, we're going to be focusing on verses 10 through 14, and that a person will never go to battle if they don't know they're in a battle. A person will never engage in the fight if they don't know that there's a fight to engage with, engage in. The lesson, the focus of Monday, there is a constant war being waged between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. The focus point that we want the students to leave with is this: absolute truth is true for all people at all times and in all situations. Now think about this. They're living in a world that says it doesn't matter what you're born as, gender. It doesn't matter the way that you've been created, because it's all relative. And you can just change it because you want to. But our goal Monday night is going to be that there is absolute truth, and that it never changes, no matter who you are, where you are, or what's going on. And then they give a little rhyme to go along with it. Listen, of the two, only one can be true. Of the two. And I love the way that these lessons are laid out. I mean, you've got the idea, there's a war battling. There's one side or the other. The focal point, that absolute truth is for all people at all times and everywhere, and that you're going to have to make a decision. Of the two, only one is true. Then there's day two, the belt and our Savior King. It'll be from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 14, but it'll also bring in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. The focus in the lesson: as a child and a warrior of the King, the belt of truth holds us true as we engage in the greatest battles for the glory of the greatest King. So remember, the day before, we learned about absolute truth. It doesn't change. Now, the second day, the absolute truth of the Bible provides the warrior with a strong and sure foundation as he lives in a world that's always shifting. You see how it's building on? We've got the truth. Now, the truth, it'll keep you sure while everything around you is going. Here's the helpful rhyme for it. Decide your side. Decide your side. And then we'll move on into day three. This is the breastplate and the shoes. Breastplate and the shoes. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 15. 2 Kings also, 22 and 23. And the focus there will be on Josiah. Y'all remember King Josiah? God was going to bring judgment on the nation. But Josiah found the law, and he had them bring the law back in, and he focused them back on the law. And because of that, God held off his wrath. The focus point is that the breastplate of righteousness provides protection of the warrior's vital areas. Also, the shoes of peace allow the warrior to have comfort along with steadfastness as they contend for the kingdom of light. Focal point: putting on what is right in the King's eyes and practicing what is right in the King's eyes will not only bring victory, but it will also always honor the King. Do what is right. Here's the rhyme. Do right in the King's sight. Do right in the King's sight. And then day four, which is usually kindly the day that we focus on a decision. This is the shield and the helmet. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, and then 2 Kings chapter 2, chapters 2 through verse 11. Do you remember who's focused on there? It's another king. The wisest of all, Solomon. Having taken the time to cover our vital areas with the breastplate and the shoes, the warrior must also protect his head, his mind, from Satan's attack. And having the shield of faith allows an extra insurance along with the helmet of our salvation that the King will always be there for His children and His warriors. Here's the rhyme. The focal point. Guard against false teachings and temptations. Learn to discern. Learn to discern. And then the last one, Friday, it would be the sword and prayer. The idea here in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 through 18, also Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 is this, that there's going to be the comparison between the King of Kings and the Prince of the Air. Focus. While a good, strong defense is a must for every warrior, there also has to be offense. You can't just guard against it, but you have to engage with it. Our King has supplied us with the sword of the Spirit and the power-packed weapon of prayer. And so as we move to this point, we're praying that some have already come to know Jesus Christ, and then we're moving into the point of the idea of the battle for the mind, because that's where it all, if Satan can get your mind, then the actions aren't far behind, but the same is true for Christ. So as we look at this, I know that Vacation Bible School will wear you out, bottom line. I mean, it will wear you out. And sometimes life makes it where we can't be there. But we're living in a world right now where it's just sometimes weird to evangelize. It's difficult. We have to find our places to do it. And this is a time where they're going to be bringing them to us. We don't have to go out. We don't have to get them. They're going to have them here. And so let's be faithful. May not can be here but one night. But whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. And as I was preparing this yesterday and today, an old song came to my mind, and I want to read it with you. And then at the end, if you know it, I want you to sing it with me. I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. You turned and saw the young man smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, but wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day you said that prayer, and I asked Jesus in my heart. Then another man stood before you and said, do you remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry? You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. And Jesus took your gift that you gave, and that's why I'm here today. One by one they came, far as the eye could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know that up in heaven they say that we won't cry, but I'm almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord and he said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. We don't know what God will do with our obedience. And if you can't be here, pray. But praise God, I'm praying and I'm believing that we're going to see at least 5 souls saved this week. Maybe more. Maybe I'm underestimating. But, hallelujah, even if we don't see one saved, we don't know what's going on in the hearts and lives of individuals. So tonight, I want to ask you just one, be praying that the hearts and the minds will be prepared as they come in next week. Also, I want you to be praying that the teachers, the students, the workers, all of them, that God just have his hand and blessing and anointing on them. Another thing is this. Whatever it might be that the devil's planning to try to interfere, in Jesus' name and by his blood, right now, we rebuke it. Not by our authority, but by his. And then the last thing is this, is that we'll do it with joy. We'll serve with joy. And if the playground comes in Monday, it won't hurt our feelings either on that one. So that's how I want us to close tonight, is just praying over our Vacation Bible School. But are there any other thoughts about the Vacation Bible School tonight? There's decorating tomorrow, right? What time is that? Do you know? In the morning? Good deal. And then Sunday night, we're going to, I'm hoping to have everybody here. We'll pray over our workers and all that will be there as well. But any other thoughts? I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. Deacons, I'm going to need y'all, though, because I won't be in the class. So I'm going to need y'all to each do one night in the office. Anything else before we close? Any other prayer needs? What time's your appointment tomorrow, Sister Ernestine? We will. Sister Sheila, when is Mr. Gerald's?
It's on July
7th. July the 7th. I almost forgot Sister Renee, too. Chester, she's healing up from her, was it a hip replacement?
No, knee.
Knee replacement. Lift her up. And then Sister Peggy's in Alaska, I think it is. Will she? Is there sewing bees tomorrow? Supposed to? Okie dokie. I surprised y'all last week, didn't I? We had the 4-H. We had the 4-H had called to ask to use the building. Both Lee and Scott County were coming together in here, and I talked with the deacons about it, but I forgot to mention it to anybody else, and then it popped up that it was last Thursday, the 1st, and so Brother Keith had to come down here and open it up and all that. So. He didn't? Was it you? Okay, because she told me I was with the woman, so she freaked you out a little bit? Did you tell him, yes, that's my title. I'm the bearer of the keys here. Do you know how many showed up? Did you see how many? Well, what was bad is that it's Talmadge is a part of it and all that, and he was out of town too. So, I mean, it was it, but... I remember, I think it was... I remember Brother K. Jesse, though, telling stories about when the Boy Scouts and would come and they would do their programs and all that. And, you know, that's a part of community. It's a part of being relevant. And I'd like to see more of that if we could for them, like the blood drive and things like that. I think that's... a part of being part of your community. Anything else before we close out? Brother Gary Bledsoe, would you lift up our Vacation Bible School and all those prayer needs as well? Yes, Lord. Feeding, yes, Lord.